Good and gracious God, we thank you for your word that nourishes and sustains us, that comforts and that challenges us. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive your word, not mine, not ours, but yours, for you alone are God. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. On a cold, clear night, a group of men are staring up at the sky, observing the shapes of the constellations, jotting down notes. They are magi, and they have spent their lives learning, listening, observing. They are descendants of a long line of scholars, of religious devotees, tracing their heritage back through the centuries to Persia. They are spiritual, but not devoted. Theirs is not to evangelize, but to uncover, to seek after knowledge of the world, the ancient, mysterious knowledge of the world. When kings or rulers want to know about things that might happen or to hear the old stories, it is the magi who tell them, who give advice as best as they are able, based on what they know. These magi who are staring up at the sky know all the old stories. They know the Babylonian stories of Marduk and Tiamat. They know when they look at the skies that some of the lights they see are said to be the Roman gods of Jupiter and Mars and Neptune. But because it is their job to know and to listen, they also know the stories that come from far away, from the small western provinces. Even in their towns, there are synagogues, groups of people who call themselves Jews. They remained in their far eastern homes even after the exile, after they were allowed to return, and so their stories are told along with those of the east. And so the Magi have heard and have studied the old prophecies of Isaiah and Micah and Balaam, who said that one day a ruler would rise up in the west, in the region of Judea, the king of the Jews. And this king, Isaiah said, would bring peace and prosperity to his people, but also to the whole world. the Magi know too that the sign of this ruler would be a star. For Balaam had declared that a star would come out of Jacob and a scepter would rise out of Israel. And so on a cold, clear night, when they see a new star appear in the heavens, a star they do not yet have on their charts and maps, they know what it means. The king who was foretold has arrived, and they will travel to find this king and pay homage. They will make a pilgrimage, journeying for many months until they find this king, that they might present him with gifts. And so they set out, and as they do, they leave behind the things they know, taking with them only their knowledge that the star will guide them. They are pilgrims, and they are wise. And so they set out with only their questions, their seeking, their openness to what might happen along the way. I read an article this week that encouraged us to enter this new year as pilgrims. And I think there's something very right about that. Pilgrims know where they're headed. They have a destination in mind, but they don't know what will take place along the way. That is in large part the point of a pilgrimage. It is a journey of discovery, of being changed, of contemplation, of surprising spiritual encounters. On Thursday night, we ushered in this new year, but I imagine many of us did so with less certainty and more humility than we did a year ago. We rang in 2020 with declarations that this would be our year. We were eager and excited for the new possibilities. And then 2020 happened, and we were desperate for the year to end. I gathered with my small little pod on New Year's Eve, and as we watched the ball drop and the 2021 sign light up, there was no hugging or kissing or champagne drinking. We all stayed where we were, and one of us said, "Okay, a new year." We smiled, certainly, but it was a muted, bittersweet celebration. A sense of grim relief coupled with the knowledge that nothing had actually changed at midnight, and the humble awareness that we have no idea what 2021 will bring. I don't think the Magi could have known what awaited them as they made their pilgrimage, their journey to worship this new king. It certainly doesn't seem like they, for all of their learning, had any idea about who they were dealing with in the person of King Herod. When the Romans took control of Palestine, they placed locals from the region on the throne in that area as puppet kings, and Herod was one of these kings. And Herod was kind of terrible. Towards the end of his reign, which is when our story takes place, he is incredibly paranoid, believing everyone has a plot to kill him. He has many wives, and so he has many sons, all of whom are vying for the throne. So Herod does the reasonable thing and kills a lot of them, taking out any possible threat. Which means that when Herod hears that there's a group of men from the east who have arrived in Jerusalem and are asking questions about where they might find the new king of the Jews, Herod flies into a near panic. He fears threats from within his own kingdom, within his own family, certainly. But his biggest fear is that the kingdoms of the east might rise up against him. Is it possible, then, that these important religious leaders from the east might be part of a plan, a plot, to work with this new king and convince him to join them, to work with them, that they might take back the province of Palestine from the Romans and thus from Herod? So Herod calls together his own religious interpreters and leaders and demands to know if they know what these Magi are talking about. Sure enough, they cite the prophet Micah, who foretold that a ruler would come out of Bethlehem, and his sign would be a star. Herod crafts a plan, calls the Magi to him in secret, and instructs them to find the child, and then return to him to tell him where the child is, that he too might go and worship him. He will not, of course, worship the child. He will find him, and he will kill him. And probably kill the Magi too, for good measure. To quell this threat before anyone hears about it, before it can do any kind of damage to him, give anyone else any ideas. Herod has the power, after all. If anyone is going to be a threat, it's him. So the Magi carry on in their pilgrimage, unaware of this plot, unaware that they, that this new king, are in danger. It's that unknown, of course, that feels the most threatening about a journey, or an endeavor, or a new year. The year stretches before us, filled with possibilities, which makes us hopeful. But we are well aware that not all of these possibilities can be good ones. In 2020, it became almost a joke every time some new crazy thing happened, many of which in a normal year would be much more newsworthy than they ended up being in the grand scheme of a pandemic. My siblings and I would send each other pretty regular texts of, "So on your 2020 bingo card, did you have murder hornets or feral monkeys listed?" But perhaps the most wearying, the most stress-inducing is the continued unknown of the pandemic itself. We don't know how it will affect us if we get COVID-19. We don't know if we'll get it. We don't know if the people we interact with have it. We don't know how the pandemic will affect us this year. Will things, once they open up, will they stay open this time? How long will it take before everyone has access to a vaccine? Will we be able to go to baseball games this summer? Will the entire congregation be able to gather in the sanctuary for worship? Will we be able to travel this year? So we're a little wary entering this new year. We have to believe it will be a better one than the last. But there's still this uncertainty, this threat. And though now that we have a vaccine, we feel a little bit more in control of things than before, we still feel a certain sense of helplessness about it. We're still just waiting and wondering, putting one foot in front of the other, getting out of bed every day, wondering what will happen. Most of you have probably heard the pun by now, that hindsight is 2020. Though I'm not sure that we are removed enough yet from this past year to learn any deep, profound lessons from it or understand what God might have been up to in all of this. Not yet. But hindsight, or time, does allow us to look at the story of the Magi and see how God was at work in and through them. Because from start to finish, God's hand is all over this story. It's God who gave the prophets the words to say the knowledge that a Savior would one day appear and his sign would be a star. It's God who caused that star to appear in the sky. Maybe it was a natural phenomenon like Jupiter and Saturn aligning. Maybe it was a supernatural phenomenon. Maybe, and I think probably most likely, given how often they appear in the birth narrative, the star was actually an angel. But whatever the case, the God who holds the universe between his fingers gave the Magi a sign, calling them, specifically them, to this journey. Because in calling forth the Magi, God is demonstrating that the salvation that will come through the Christ child is not just for the Jews, but for the whole world. And the Magi, who are not Jews themselves, they bring Jesus gifts. They likely don't believe or know that he is divine. They think he is a very important king, and they want to pay their respect. But in their worship, they unknowingly worship Yahweh. They worship the one true God. God is able even to make our worship something more than it is. And then in the end, God is not thwarted by Herod's plans. God appears to the Magi, maybe through an angel again, in a dream, warning them not to go to Herod, but to return home by a different route. And the angel will then appear to Joseph right afterwards, telling him to take his family and flee to Egypt. At face value, Herod is the one with the armies, with the power, with the might, with the cunning. He is certainly a threat. But as Junior Asparagus reminds us in VeggieTales, God is bigger than the boogeyman, and he is watching over you and me. The wise men set out on a pilgrimage to find the king of the Jews. And I wonder, as they made their way home, if they knew, if they were aware of how much more they had experienced. Were their hearts changed? Did they have any idea that they had been pulled into a story greater than any story they had ever studied? Were their eyes open enough to see the one behind the story? There are yet a lot of unknowns about 2021. But what we do know is that this year, like every year, belongs to God, is part of his story, and that he is so much greater than any one thing that might happen as a part of that story. We know that God protects the vulnerable, that he cares for the weak and the helpless, that he lifts up the lowly and he gladdens the downcast, and he thwarts the plans of the evil one. He even takes that which is meant for evil and turns it for good. He brings life out of death. He brings healing to the nations. So may 2021 be a year of pilgrimage, a year in which we keep our eyes and hearts open to discover more about ourselves, but most importantly, to discover more about God. May we see how God is present in our lives. May we learn more about what his kingdom looks like. May we behold his signs of goodness, his stars of wonder, and be brave enough to follow. He invites us, we who are unfaithful, we who are fearful, we who are broken, we who have nothing to offer, to come and receive. To open ourselves up to what God is doing, to follow where he leads, to worship. For he is good, and he is mighty, and he is God. One of my favorite prayers is Ted Loader. And so I would like to conclude and then use as our congregational prayer his prayer for New Year's Day. Would you pray with me? Patient God, the clock struck midnight, and I partied with a strange sadness in my heart, confusion in my mind. Now I ask you to gather me, for I realize the storms of time have scattered me, the furies of the year past have driven me. Many sorrows have scarred me. Many accomplishments have disappointed me. Much activity has wearied me, and fear has spooked me into 100 hiding places, one of which is pretended gaiety. I am sick of a string of have a nice days. What I want is passionate days, wondrous days, dangerous days, blessed days, surprising days. What I want is you. Patient God, this day teeters on the edge of waiting, and things seem to slip away from me as though everything were only memory, and memory is capricious. Help me not to let my life slip away from me. Oh God, I hold up my life to you now, as much as I can, as high as I can, in this mysterious reach called prayer. Come close, lest I wobble and fall short. It is not days or years I seek from you, not infinity and enormity, but small things and moments and awareness. Awareness that you are in what I am and in what I have been indifferent to. It is not new time, but new eyes, new heart I seek, and you. Patient God, in this teetering time, this time of balance, this time of waiting, make me aware of moments. Moments of song, moments of bread and friends, moments of jokes, some of them on me, which for a moment deflate my pomposities. Moments of sleep and warm beds, moments of children laughing and parents bending, moments of sunsets and sparrows outspunking winter, moments when broken things get mended with glue or guts or mercy or imagination, moments when splinters shine and rocks shrink, moments when I know myself blessed, not because I am so awfully important, but because you are so awesomely God. No less of the year to come as of all the years past. No less of this moment than of all my moments. No less of those who forget you as of those who remember, as I do now in this teetering time. O patient God, make something new in me in this year for you. Amen.